This podcast is brought to you by Harvest Family Church in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, please visit harvestfamilychurch.ca. We hope you are encouraged by today's message from Dr. Earl B. Coulter.
I'm not specifically teaching on faith. Every once in a while, I'll talk about it. Like, for example, right now. To develop or grow in faith, it is a development of trusting and believing in God's word. To release that faith, it's saying or confessing it. So faith always has these two principles or steps, in a sense. To trust and believe God's word, and to release your faith by saying. I heard one minister say one time, God's people are not missing it in their trusting or in their believing, but where they miss it is in their saying or their confessing of their belief. The other thing I want to say about faith is that faith sees things differently. I don't have this on the screen, but if you'll go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we do something. While we do not, in other words, there's no benefit if we don't do verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I'm reading from the New King James. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or changeable, and the things which are not seen are eternal or unchangeable. So what we do in the faith adventure, we begin to see ourselves with the benefits of salvation that we're believing for. In this case, we are believing for healing, so we would see ourselves healed. I think this is a truism that everybody doesn't get healed. Now I'll wait till that settles in your brain. Everybody doesn't get healed, but healing is available to everybody. I want you to hear that again. We know this by fact. Everybody doesn't get healed. But healing, divine healing from God, is available for everybody. Everybody doesn't get saved, but salvation is available for everybody. So the issue is connecting the dots. The issue is connecting, believing that you receive it, confessing you have it, and connecting so that the manifestation comes into reality. In this series, I am emphasizing receiving healing on your own, is basically what I'm emphasizing. In other words, you can get healed by having hands laid on you. You can get healed by the anointing with oil. You can get healed by the prayer of agreement with somebody. You can get healed by the gifts of the Spirit, so that there's many ways you can be healed. But what I'm emphasizing is healing, receiving healing on your own as you develop your faith. So we're going to go first to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. Proverbs 4, 14 to 23, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path. So we can see one path, now we see another path. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter unto a full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Now he's making the analogy between a path and his word. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Or that word healing can be translated medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. In Psalm 119, maybe if you went there, I don't have it on the screen, Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, it's really a famous scripture. I could quote it, but I want to have you look at it. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So there is a connection. The word here is like a path that we get on. And this path produces a medicine or healing in our bodies. There is a connection, a great connection, between enlightenment and understanding and healing. Enlightenment and understanding. The prayer in Ephesians 1, 16 to 20. Paul gives this as a divine prayer, if you will, an inspired prayer. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, or enlightenment, in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and be enlightened to what God has called you to have as an inheritance in the saints. One of the things is healing. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words give light, it gives understanding to the simple. Therefore, if healing is something that we need, then we need to search the scriptures for healing. And it's an amazing thing. This is what I've noticed over the years. If I set out to study prosperity, financial prosperity, And I set it out to study it in order to teach it, I begin to see it in every book of the Bible. It's an amazing thing. So you start out studying about healing to apply it to your life, and you'll find everywhere, from the Old Testament right on through, you'll find it all the way through, that God is a healing God, that he even calls himself the healer, Jehovah Rapha. He gives himself a divine name, that this is his character, that he's a healer. Now, I said at the beginning, not everybody gets healed, but healing is available to everybody. The same way not everybody gets saved, but salvation is available. It is available to all. Now, Isaiah 55, 8 to 11. Isaiah 55, 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, or out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. He is telling us here that there is a tremendous connection between understanding, enlightenment, and something like healing. He wants his ways and his thoughts to be known to us. And he wants them to come back to him. How are they going to do that? They're going to come back to him out of our mouths. And as we sow them, as we send them back to him, we're actually serendipitously, if I might say, sowing them into our own spirits. This is why they have to start coming out of your mouth. They have to constantly come out of your mouth. As you sow them into your spirit, you begin to see something about God's nature as the healer. And one needs a revelation in the spirit realm, that is, one needs a revelation in your own spirit regarding healing before it's ever manifested in your body. And I'm going to say that again. This is why Paul prayed that people would get the spirit of wisdom and revelation about the hope of which they've been called, the hope of the benefits of salvation. And you can pray that prayer for anybody. It's amazing what you'll watch as you pray that prayer for them. You want to get a revelation in your own spirit about healing before you'll ever see it manifested in your body. You can't just wrap it in as an intellectual thing, although it is very rational. It has to come out from the inside. Notice in Proverbs chapter 4 again, verses 20 and 21. My son, be attentive to my words. Now, in this case, we would be attentive to his words on healing. Now, if you've been sick for a long time, you could sort of get the idea that, well, maybe this is the way it is for me. And so you sort of give up on the whole issue. But the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy, now I'll get to this in another class, but Deuteronomy 28, it talks about being redeemed from the curse of sickness of long continuance or hereditary diseases. Christ has redeemed from the curse of that. So we don't have to stick with and keep sicknesses of long continuance and never give up. Somebody says, what if you die like that? Well, then I won't have it anymore, for sure. I'll be in heaven. But I would still maintain my faith based upon the Word of God right up until whatever. Notice it says, be attentive. Notice that. Attentive. Incline your ear to my saying, let them not escape from your sight, and keep them within your heart. Now I want to combine that with Joshua 1:8. The Lord said to Joshua, this book of the law, or the scriptures, let's say, shall not depart from your mouth. So here we have it. Don't let it out of your eyes. Don't let it out of your ears. Don't let it depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written therein, or written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now notice it doesn't say God's going to make it. Now he made the way prosperous by Jesus, or by what he says. But it says, you may be careful to do all that is written there. And then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And as I showed you last week, many times Jesus put the onus on the person. They said, Jesus, are you able to do this? And he said, are you able to believe? He puts the onus on us. He can do it. He can do what he wants. He will do what his word says. But he asks us to believe it. So keep it before your eyes. Keep looking at it. Keep meditating on it. Keep speaking it out of your mouth. Building up your faith. Sowing the seeds of healing in you so that you begin to see yourself healed even before the manifestation. In Matthew chapter 7, I want you to go there. I don't have it on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. 24 to 27. Now, they may be able to find it, they being the faithful saints at the back. And they can find it faster than I can look it up. I'm going to read from the New King James. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell, and great was the fall. So both people experienced the same wind and the same rain. One stood and one didn't. The building the house, building your life of healing on the word. You're building it. And then you don't have to live then with stuff. You can live healed. When you build your house on the Word of God, it becomes real on the inside of you. It becomes real in your soul realm. Remember that you're a spirit being. That spirit being has a soul that lives in a body. So your spirit and your soul sort of work together and get nourished up in the words of faith from the scriptures on healing. And then it becomes real to you on the inside. So 3 John 2 says it like this. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So prospering in health is going to be preceded, prospering in health in your body is going to be preceded by your soul prospering, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your mind and your will and your emotion is going to precede the healing manifestation in your body. When it is real on the inside, is it exciting? If it's old, it's not real. And you can tell somebody who's old, you talk to them, they say, well, I know that. Now, there's a difference between saying, I know that, and saying, I know that. See? Well, I know that. Well, that means that it's not real on the inside. You have some kind of a mental assent. But in your soul realm, in your spirit realm, it's not exciting. If it's exciting, you do it. You can't wait to say it. You can't wait to get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, and by your stripes, I'm healed. Even if the manifestation isn't there. It's like the revelation of tithing. Once you get a revelation of tithing, once you get a revelation on the inside of you of what tithing actually does, you're not going to do it. You're going to argue about it. You're going to argue about the Old Testament and all that, and whether or not you should tithe on the gross of the net, and go on and on and on and on. And I get so sick and tired of hearing people talk about it like that, because it's not real on the inside. Once it's real on the inside, you can't wait, actually, to bring the tithe to the temple treasury, pray over it, believing God for the open windows of heaven, knowing that the open windows of heaven are going to come your way. And the devourer is rebuked. And that's the only place in the Bible where God says to prove him. He said, try it out. Try me. Prove me now, says the Lord, if I will not do this. But we mess around with it. Can hear it, but no revelation down on the inside of you. If it's real, you'd start doing it. You start doing it like Joshua. And now Joshua needed to have this scripture. He needed to have it in his mouth because he had to, just in a few chapters, he had to deal with Jericho. He had to actually walk around 7 times and shout stuff and blow trumpets and all kinds of stuff. God said, if you don't keep my law before you, don't keep my word before you, when it comes to something as crucial as this, you're not going to do it. But by the time he got there, he got a revelation that the word of God, whatever God spoke, was real and would come to pass if he kept it in his eyes and meditated upon it and kept it coming out of his mouth. He was ready to do the will of God. God's word is one pill that can cure all sicknesses and diseases. It's called the gospel. Actually, if you really were listening, a small smile would come across your face. Gospel, the one pill. I thought it was pretty good myself. Get full of the word. Now, when I say that, the picture would come in your mind, but we have to do chapters. No, you can have one scripture. You can get full of that one scripture. One time in my life, I got full of Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. And all things by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard, fortify your mind like the moat around a castle. I got so full of that that the anxiety and the fear left. I call it the law of displacement. Get full of something. Get full of the word. Get full of one scripture on healing. And you get a revelation down in your spirit. And then when you do that, serendipitously again, faith comes. Faith is built. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. How are you going to hear it? You have to say it. Faith doesn't come by reading, although that's a start. Faith comes by saying it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Not having heard, but hearing and hearing and hearing. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. For those who love it will eat its fruit. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And those who love it, what it, death or life, will eat its fruit. So what you do is you put life words in your mouth. The entrance of his word gives light and life. You put light, life words in your mouth and say it. And say it. And it comes down and registers in your spirit after a bit. Won't register the first time, and probably not the second or third or fourth, but it eventually register on your spirit. Put life words in your mouth, and you begin then to enjoy the fruit of it. So you can put death words or life words. You can put what the devil's doing or what God is doing. You can put negative words in your mouth. Now, this is not just the power of positive thinking. It's actually the power of the Word of God. What you want to do is put the Word of God in your mouth. You don't have to have the exact translation. There are many translations from the Scriptures. You can use a Living Word, Contemporary English Version, English Standard Version, American Standard Version, King James Version, New King James Version, Amplify, whatever you want. And if it has the gist of it, then that's all you need. Put life words into your mouth. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, now the parable is this, talking about the parable of the word, the sower sows the word. He said the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The seed, the word of God, contains healing. Just as a corn seed contains corn, so the word of God on healing contains health. So get it off the page in your eyes and in your mouth. Get it off the page, get it in your ears, get it in your eyes, get it in your mouth, and don't be lazy. The Word of God is the seed. Now, I've recognized, and I think that anybody who's lived any length of time will recognize, that life is integrated. One thing affects the other. For instance, bitterness. Bitterness in the spirit realm or in the soul realm affects us negatively. And scientific work now tells us, that they're getting caught up with the Word of God, that negative things will affect us psychologically and spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, not only you, but those that hear you. The root of bitterness. The root of bitterness will defile you. The root of bitterness, trouble talks about disturbance, defilement talks about pollution and contamination. Life is integrated. So the Bible talks about putting life in your mouth. If there's a bitter feeling about something, don't let it get out of your mouth. Cast it down and put the Word of God to it. And say, no root of bitterness will spring up and ever trouble my household or me. And no one will ever be defiled by bitterness. I take authority over bitterness. Because you can get bitterness, just live a while. And interact with people. Interact with in families. And you can become bitter. And it can affect your psyche. It can affect the soul realm. The Greek word for the soul realm is psyche, where we get our word psychology. It can affect you. And the more it can affect you, and it can affect your body negatively. And this is why God is saying, don't let it depart from you. Don't let the word depart from your eyes. Don't stop it from coming out of your mouth, because you're going to create an image on the inside of you of one thing or another. Ephesians chapter 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. People I want you to think about this. You could be bitter about something, and you've been bitter so long about something that it's a way of life. Somebody done me wrong sometime. Might as well sing the song. Get a pickup and put a gun on the at the back and across the back and just sing. Somebody done me wrong. And you can have that, and it's been around so long with you that it seems like a way of life. You can be bitter and it affect your health. It says it rises up and troubles you, and many are defiled. Not only you, but people around you. I have learned, and I teach this to young pastors who come and ask us for advice, I teach them to have a few people. Everybody should have a board of people that you can trust, and you can they need to tell you stuff. They need to say, you know, Pastor, have you thought of this? Or if there's something that needs to be corrected, you can talk. Or get some other ministers that you want them on a consulting board so that you can run things by them. But don't let bitter words come out of your mouth. Just deal with it. And I said, I taught them to let words that are bitter fall to the ground. If a bitterness comes to you, let it fall to the ground, because it's not corrective in a sense. I pay no attention. I pray for, but pay no attention to bitter words. Bitter words spoken to me, you might as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I don't pay attention to it. Now, I pay attention to humble thoughts, corrective ideas that can benefit the congregation. But anybody with bitterness, I can't let it in. So I teach these young guys, don't let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor from people, let it get into your personality, let it get into your soul realm, because then it'll make you a basket case. Keep it on the outside. Let it fall to the ground. Because it will defile you. It'll pollute you. It'll affect you mentally. It'll affect you psychologically. When it affects your soul realm, it starts to affect your body. So, ultimately, it takes faith for healing. It takes faith. And this was the exercise that we did with all of those healing that Jesus, the 19 experiences where Jesus heals individuals in the Gospels. Most of them have faith present. A couple of them have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, but most of them have faith present. It takes faith in God's word for healing. It's like one person said to one minister I know, well, as she said after the service, she says, whose faith is it going to take for me to get healed? And the man said, well, a little bit from both of us. You believing that you receive, and me actually praying the prayer of faith. She said, well, if it's got anything to do with me, you can just forget it. She had no intentions of growing her faith. So healing, remember, takes faith, and faith is two things. It is believing God's word and saying it. I want to use the two scriptures to demonstrate that. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it right then before you get it. Believe you receive it before you get it. Believe you have it before you get it. And then, Mark 11:22-23, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. There is the two scriptures regarding faith. Faith is believing and saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 talks about the Old Testament saints. Says, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe and we speak. We believe and we speak. I think that's 2 Corinthians 4:13. Somebody check that out. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. Is that it? Somebody speak to me.
Yes,
okay, good. So doubting will nullify or delay your healing. Now you could add on top of this healing that I'm talking about, you could add a miracle. Some people's healing needs a miracle. Either way, it's not hard for God. Doubting will nullify or delay it. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Now, can you look at verse 7? For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. It's available. I decided one day, I don't know about you, but I decided when I found out that these things from God were available, I thought, I'm going to go after it. Why not? If he's asking us to pray for one another that we receive the revelation, the wisdom revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope we're called to, the hope of believing that the benefits of salvation are mine. So I decided I'm going to believe for healing, and I'm going to use the word for healing and preventative medicine. I believe God for prosperity financially. I'm going to believe God for a good home life. I'm going to believe God for obedient children, and that they'd be used of God, and that they would marry righteously. And I've started with my grandchildren now, that they're going to marry righteously and be men and women of prayer, righteousness, peace, and the Holy Ghost, and serve God all the days of their life. Just believe God for it. Because you can pray and bless your children's children. So whatever God has for us, I would say just go for it, praise God, until it comes to pass. The whole issue of saying and believing is a whole issue of sowing and reaping. Now you could write that down. Saying and believing is like sowing and reaping. Because by saying the word, because the word is the seed, so by saying it, you're sowing it. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I would just forget about why I've got it, why I attracted it, why this came on me. I would forget anything about that. I forget it. Because if it's sin, all you have to do with that is confess it And he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't want to hear about it again. Because if you prayed it again and asked again, he'd say, what are you talking about? I've put it from in the sea of my forgetfulness. What sin are you talking about? And so forget it. And go on. Don't be trying to drive yourself nuts about why it happened. Could be 1,000 reasons. The word is a seed. Mark 4:15, I don't have that on the board. Mark 4:15. This is exciting to me. Praise God. Now he's talking about this parable of the sower sowing the word, and he said, and these are the ones, 4:15, by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's where you sow it, when it's sown in your hearts. And you got to keep it growing in there. You got to keep sowing it in there, because Satan will come and try to take it away with thoughts or with people's attitudes or whatever. Somebody might say something to you. Somebody might say something like, you don't look too well. Like you're believing for healing. And they say, well, notice you've got bags under your eyes. Are you okay? What you need to say right there is, don't be moved by what you see. Proverbs 18:14 in the Amplified. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can rise up or bear? When I started years ago to deal with a particular manifestation of stuff in my body, I use Philippians chapter 4. I want to tell you that my spirit was weak and was not sustaining me in that situation. Until I, and my wife can tell you this, until I got my spirit where it needed to be, with Philippians chapter 4, I was a mess. But I got it there. My spirit became strong and was able to sustain me in a bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can rise up or bear? My spirit became strong. The manifestation of the healing hadn't happened, but it wasn't bothering me anymore. I was going on with life. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And I thought to myself, I wonder when it left. Because I got so taken up with the Word of God that I wasn't, my spirit was sustaining me in the situation. You want to grow. The spirit becomes strong by nurturing it the same way as your body becomes strong by nurturing it. You can have a weak spirit, you can have a strong spirit. You can have weak faith or strong faith. There's many adjectives to faith, isn't it? One is shipwrecked. Remember the shipwrecked faith guys? Little faith, weak faith, strong faith, great faith, unfeigned faith. Feigned is pretense. Unfeigned is not pretense faith. It's real stuff. The spirit becomes strong by nurturing it as you would nurture the body. Luke 4:4, it's in your Bibles, not on the screen. Luke 4:4. Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He associates the word with bread and nurturing. Let the word of God be bread to you. Believing the promises of God and saying them and sowing them. 1 Peter 1:23-25. In the Amplified, you have been regenerated, born again, not from mortal original seed sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. Praise God. For all flesh, mankind is like grass, and all its glory, honor, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord, divine instruction, the gospel, endures forever, and this word is the good news which was preached to you. Let's combine that with 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up unto salvation. Nurturing, nutrition, nutritious way of eating is important for your body. Nutritious way of believing, that is filling your mouth and your heart with the Word of God. Just as a lack of natural nutrition will make your body weak, so the lack of spiritual nutrition will make your spirit weak. But the other side is true. Proper nutrition helps your body. Proper spiritual nutrition, the Word of God, will feed your spirit and make it strong. And remember that you don't have to wrench strength or healing from God. You don't want to think of faith as works. You want to think of it as an adventure. You want to think of it as exciting. You want to think of it as something that God has provided. Don't get anxious about it. Proverbs, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You have to wrench it from God. But you do have to grow your faith. You have to believe that he wants you healed. And I'm trying to tell you how to do that. So you become strong in faith and the power of his word. Just as your body needs to be nourished, so does your spirit. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures. One right after the other. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto you have attained. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, I ate them, and your words became to me joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. That is the truth. I mean, when you see yourself just feeding on God's word, it becomes joy and delight. And the sadness that is brought on by sickness and disease changes to delight in the word of God. Man, and you're on your way. Matthew 4:4, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. 1 John 5:4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So I'm going to end up tonight by where I started. The soul realm and the spirit, the soul and the spirit, needs to prosper first. Your spirit needs to grow, be strong, and your mind and your will and your emotion needs to be saved by the Word of God. And it's an interesting thing that's the way the Lord puts it to, and when James is writing to the early church in James 1:21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Our souls need to be saved. When we get saved, our spirits become saved. But our soul realm, our mind and will and emotion, drags all kinds of stuff from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of Christ. We drag stuff in. We drag poverty in. Sometimes we drag sickness in. Sometimes we drag attitudes in that God has to change by the fruit of the Spirit and by His Word. We drag stuff in. We drag worry in. When you get saved, you can be just as worried as you were before. You drag the stuff in. God has to work on you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to get your mind, will, and a sense of healing. He wants you to see, first of all, that not everybody gets healed, but healing is available. Therefore, I'm not going to be the one that doesn't get it. I'm going to get it. And God wants you, I'm going to finish with this. God wants you, He wants to work on your imagination. He wants you to see yourself healed. He wants you to, whatever promise in the book, He wants to see yourself with it. I'm going to prove that by turning to, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. First of all, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. It means the father of many nations. So every time Sarah said, "Hey, Abe, come on in for supper," he's hearing, "Hey, come on in, father of many nations." Now listen to this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." In other words, he's saying that Sarah's going to have a baby. And he brought him outside and said, "Look towards the heavens and number the stars if you're able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord and he counted to him as righteousness. God said, "Look up in the heavens. I want you to imagine that your family will be as large as the stars in the heavens." Now, this is not some kind of transcendental meditation. This is actually looking in God's Word and imagining that it's mine. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have that many children. And God was, He didn't give him the whole revelation there, because the whole revelation of that was He was going to have natural heirs. And then in Galatians 3, the last chapter, the last verse there, I think verse 29, it says, "If you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." All of the born-again people are heirs of the Abrahamic covenant because we're Christ's. So actually, like the stars. But God says, I want to get his imagination changed. God wants to change us so that we can see ourselves healed. See ourselves whole. See ourselves spirit, soul, and body. Notice that on the cross, he dealt with spirit, soul, and body. He was wounded for our transgressions, spirit. He was bruised for our iniquities, spirit. The chastisement of our peace, mind, will, and emotion, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed, body. He dealt with everything. He wants us to see that. He wants to change your imagination. God had to change my imagination from lack, for instance, to abundance. I had to see myself with abundance. When Esther and I didn't have 2 cents to, we didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. We used to have to scrounge for money in the car, see if we could find a quarter. Huh? Oh yeah, sell pop bottles. See, you people think that we've always had it this good. But we had to do stuff. We had no revelation. Man, we got married. We had nothing. Just love. Sweet Esther Ruth, bum, bum, bum. And so we just, all of a sudden, I found out that God wanted to prosper us. He had to change my thinking. My imagination, that he actually wanted us to have enough to meet our needs, but he wanted us to have enough to be a blessing to others. And it's come to pass. But I had to see it first. When I first began to imagine, I wasn't at the level where I could give a car away. But we got there and gave 4 cars away to this point. But it wasn't like that at the beginning. I couldn't even pay attention, never mind pay anything, bills or anything. But we did it together. We just decided that that was in the Word of God, so we're going to do it. Then we got excited about tithing, which we weren't doing. Like some of you all.
Not this bunch.
Oh, Esther said, none of you like that. You're all tithers. Probably true here. This is I'm talking to the choir. But see, more people that are hearing this than you're sitting here, right? You understand that? He wants to change your imagination with his word. He wants you to put it in there and see yourself.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to send in your prayer requests or stories about what God is doing in your life to info@harvestfamilychurch.ca.